it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair, and it's a nil-nil draw at the Etihad on Sunday. A disappointing game and a disappointing result. With nine league games to go, City are 3 points off the leaders. What was missing at the weekend? Is that the league gone? Plenty to discuss with my three guests. Welcome to Steve Cox. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Welcome to Edward Timpson. Hi, Edward.
Hi, Nigel.
And welcome, finally, to Tony Newgrosh.
Hi, Nigel.
We've not beaten any of the top four teams now. That tells you something about our season, I think, doesn't it?
I think it probably does, to be honest. And we've had our chances. We certainly haven't taken them, if we look at Sunday in particular. I thought we played well away at Arsenal. We're unlucky to lose. I think we're unlucky not to beat Liverpool at our place. But no, I don't think we've quite been as good as we have in the past. And you're right, Nigel. You can't keep drawing and losing games against your nearest rivals and expect to win the league, or certainly not win the league comfortably.
Disappointing result, Steve, is how I describe it. And a disappointing game. Everybody kind of billed it as the game of the season, but kind of the two sides seem to cancel each other out. We'll come in on to a bit more detail in a moment, but your overall view of that?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like only City were trying to win, to be fair. Arsenal just seemed to have a sort of job of stifling City. That seemed to be what Arteta had set them out to. And if he could grab a goal on the counter or a late goal, then I think they would have been quite happy with it. I actually have to disagree with you saying we're not beating any of the top four teams. I think we've beaten ourselves this year. I think that would be my take on it, to be perfectly honest with you. It's our own failings that have stopped us rather than someone else's. Sad opinion, but, you know, that's where we've got to, I think.
Well, we may well come back to some of those failings in a second. Edward, your views on the game before we get into that detail?
I think my overall sentiment was just frustration, knowing that this was a game we were very capable of winning. If there was a better footballing team in the league, you'd take your hat off to them and say, OK, fair enough. But that's not the case. We should be putting these teams away. It's now four home draws against Spurs, Chelsea, Liverpool, and now Arsenal, games that probably not too many seasons ago, like last season, we would dispatch them 4-1 it was against Arsenal this time last year. So very frustrating. I think we'll get into some of the tactical decisions, the standard of some of the players and the form that they're showing on the pitch, the impact of injuries. But overall, Arsenal smothered us very, very well. And the fact that it's the first time in, I think, 58 games that we scored zero at home tells its own story. So, you know, very disappointing in lots of ways, but everything is still to play for. Let's remember that.
Sure. And Steve, just on the Arsenal first, we should cover them, and Edward's made a number of good points about their performance. I was disappointed. Yes, of course, a draw suited them better than City. We know that. But they were wasting time early on. Their cynical fouls regularly throughout the game, which in a large part went unpunished, which we might want to talk about. I don't know. Don't like to talk about referees, as you know. But I just, you know, when they've got five and sometimes six across the back, that's difficult to break down anyway. They were more I thought they'd have more of a go, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, I thought they could have sort of attacked a little bit more. But the problem is, and the danger that Arsenal have found in the past, is when you attack City, that actually plays into City's hands. So they've just, it's sad that they've become a team that feels like they have to set up with two banks of four and a goalkeeper to kind of block us out, rather than actually trying to beat us by scoring more goals than us. And I think that would be the, you know, what you'd ideally like to set them out to do. I was a little bit disappointed, actually, in some of our substitutions, to be fair, and I'm sure we'll come on in a bit more detail. But for me, given the amount of space that was being hogged by Arsenal in their own box, I thought it would have been an ideal game to have Bob and Foden playing together up front to try and unpick the lock a bit, because they're the two best players we have at playing in those really tight spaces along with Bernardo, and I thought that might be a better option, but obviously Pep knew better than us for that.
So Edward, let's get into this detail that you're keen to get into then. Where do you want to start? I mean, is it the players who maybe aren't firing on all cylinders? Somebody needed to step up yesterday. Somebody needed to take a grip of that, and whether it's, you know, in the past it would have been KDB, it would have been Haaland who would have sort of stuck one away, Foden has increasingly, I'm not going to take anything away from Rodri, because every week he gets a big tick from me, and I thought he was excellent again yesterday. Gvardiol, I think, was fantastic as well. I think probably one of his best games for City. But those big game players, just none of them seemed to step up, did they?
No, you're right. I think it was a combination of a bit of tiredness in legs, particularly Foden. I thought he looked a sort of bit leggy throughout most of the game, didn't really get involved, really. Very peripheral for him, for someone who we've seen really driving forward through the centre for City. But yeah, you know, we had 690 passes, not as many as we've had in some games, but still a fair number. But we didn't have a single shot that actually troubled Raya in the Arsenal goal, which is very, very rare, almost unheard of at the Etihad. So some of the things you'd expect to click just didn't. The De Bruyne-Haaland partnership, they're very fruitless through most of the game. Haaland was basically had two people wrestling him, as we've seen before, for most of certainly the first half and the first half of the second half. And I think De Bruyne is sort of forcing things perhaps more than we'd expect him to do, rather than playing instinctively. The idea of having Kovacic at the start with Rodri to give us a bit more solidity in the middle, I can understand that, but my sense was we stuck with that for too long when it was delivering very, very few results. And as good as Kovacic is, you know, he's never scored a goal for us in the Premier League. He's never got an assist for us in the Premier League. Compare that with Gundogan and the numbers that he used to stack up for us. So I just think there's some personnel issues. Some people are sort of out of form, not clicking, and some of the routes to goal that we would have banked on last season just aren't coming. And if Haaland isn't scoring, where are the goals coming from? It's either Foden or not really anybody else. And if Foden's not on form, then we really struggle, as we saw on Sunday.
But not easy, Tony, is it? Whether you call it two banks of four or at times pretty much five or six across the back, that's never easy, is it, for any team, even as good as City are, in the possession that we had, and we were 70-odd percent possession again, the passes Edwards touched on already. It's not easy against a side who set themselves up like that.
No, it's not. And it wasn't through want of trying. We've always prided ourselves on we play the City way or no other way. There never is a plan B. And when it doesn't work, it does get a bit frustrating. That said, it was a little bit pedestrian at times, wasn't it? There was no injection of urgency. And Haaland was left with very little service. I don't think he got a single ball behind the whole game. So it was frustrating. Arsenal were an utter disgrace, quite frankly, for a team who wants to win the league, when we had four of our five regular starters at the back missing, and they just didn't have a go. And it was just quite cynical and just ruined it as a spectacle. There was just no redeeming features from the whole game for me. So disappointing. You know what? We drew a game, as Edward said, still everything to play for. And there's an awful lot of negativity from one draw. So I don't think we should be too downbeat, albeit I share everyone's frustration about what a terrible game it was.
Steve, what about Haaland? We've touched on him more in relation to that relationship with KDB. But as a striker, it's really interesting. I've heard kind of two extremes. There are some people saying, hold on a minute, he's scored this season almost a goal a game again. He's been out for 2 months. Give him a break. And those others who are saying he's not the player he was last season. What's going wrong? What's right there? Which is the right one?
combination of the two. I think those two extreme views are exactly what they are, two extremes of it. I think there's a few things going on here. The first thing is there were a few occasions last year when Haaland got found out in games, and I think many people have tried to adapt to kind of stifle him a bit this year, some successfully, some unsuccessfully. I don't think the service to him has been as good, certainly since De Bruyne has been injured and now coming back from injury again, as it was last season or earlier this season. And I think that is kind of affecting him. He's still making the runs. He's not always necessarily getting the ball put through the gaps. And I don't think he had a bad game yesterday. I don't think he had a brilliant game either. I think he was somewhere, he's kind of someone who just seems to be a little bit frustrated with what he is and isn't getting given by the other players. You know, we brought Doku on and that was an ideal opportunity for Haaland to get on the end of some of the balls. But then the actual service provided by Doku wasn't great. When Grealish came on at the same time as Doku, actually the service from the left-hand side got a little bit better, but still not good enough to actually give him that kind of no-brainer. And then he missed a really weird kind of goal that you'd have expected him to put in. You'd have expected most people to put in. I think he only literally only had to hit him and it would have probably gone in, but he tried to kind of blast it, or it felt like he tried to blast it.
Tony, you got a view on Haaland? Do you sit on either extreme? How are you feeling about him at the moment?
I think we all know what sort of player he is, and when he's not getting the service, he does look a bit of a luxury, and I think Roy Keane described him as a League Two player. I mean, that's very harsh, but I can see the comparison. He doesn't contribute much apart from score goals, and when he doesn't, the team looks an awful lot poorer for it. So he will come good, we know. We know he scored 50-odd goals last season. He's not become a bad player overnight. But we didn't help him, did we? The ball was far too slow to him. He had two giants chewing away at his chest half the time, almost, it seemed. And he got just nothing to do apart from that one chance he missed. So, listen, nobody, I thought, came out of the game looking particularly elegant. We move on. He'll score some vital goals for us before now and the end of the season, I'm sure.
Do you want a quick word on Haaland, Edward, as well, before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with what the other two have said, but I did feel in this actual game itself, when we got to about an hour in and we were making some subs, there's a question mark for me, what do we do with Haaland in this situation? Because Gabriel and Saliba just were sort of had him where they wanted him. Some of it was pretty cynical, and the number of fouls which went unpunished was fairly unfathomable, I have to say. And I know the referee was trying to keep the game flowing, a big match, everything, but some of them were just outrageously left to be no more than just a free kick to us when yellow cards should have been out much earlier. But it made me think, well, you know, Arsenal have set up for this. They're comfortable with it. They're playing within themselves to ensure that Haaland doesn't get anything decent to put in the back of the net. So let's try something different. Why not bring on Bob? Why not bring on Alvarez and take Arsenal in a different direction? Maybe move them about a bit more. They're big defenders. Get some of those little Rottweilers or Jack Russells who can make life much more difficult. And we didn't do that. But that's maybe something we would need to think about in the future rather than just persevering with Haaland right till the very end.
And it was a very different back four, Tony. It was kind of enforced upon us in terms of two of our key players, in terms of Walker and Stones both being out on England duty. And then, of course, we had an injury quite early on as well to Nathan Ake, which meant another reshuffle. I don't think they did too badly, though, did they? Because Arsenal looked, you know, quite good on the break. I've already mentioned Guardiola, who I thought had a good game. But overall, the back four didn't look too bad. I'll come on to the keeper in a second. But from a back four point of view, it looked okay to me.
No, we did okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Nigel. That said, Arsenal provided very little threat. But undoubtedly, it does affect the whole balance of the team, doesn't it? We would have loved to see John Stones stepping forward, I suspect, with the ball. And it's always the way when a player's missing, isn't it? And you don't do so well. It's easy to blame it on that. But absolutely, I think we've got strength in depth there. Those players who came on, I thought, did fine. We restricted Arsenal in the same way they restricted us. That wasn't really where the problem was. There was just a lack of creativity, a lack of urgency and a lack of pace for my liking. But all right, Arsenal got the point they came for. Obviously, they don't want to win the league, it would seem. So goodbye, and I very much hope no one's talking about Arteta to replace Pep, because that's not the sort of manager I want managing my team.
And when Lewis came on, Edward, he seemed to kind of drift into midfield a little bit like he does. He hasn't played for a while, I don't think. He's been off on England duty as well. But I think he looked useful as well, didn't he? I'm trying to find some positives here to get a few minutes under his belt.
Yeah, he was a definite positive. I thought he was really lively. Took the game by the scruff of the neck, was imposing himself, wasn't sort of beaten off the ball that easily. Had a lovely pirouette just on the edge of the Arsenal area at one point, which it was a bit of a gasp around me in the stand. So, yeah, he definitely showed even more of the promise that we know he has. And the fact he's been in the England squad already suggests that, you know, he will continue to grow into that role. And I hope Pep keeps faith with him. And also Gvardiol, I know occasionally he does a misplaced pass and puts us suddenly on our haunches, running back, trying to get back into position. But I thought the quality of his play was exceptional. His ability to cushion the ball, some more forward runs, some crosses. So he definitely was a plus on the day. And I expect we're going to see him, because of other injuries throughout Ake, going to see quite a lot more of him over the next few weeks, which on this form isn't a bad thing.
So, Steve, can I talk about the keepers as well? Because I knew that Ederson wasn't going to be playing a couple of hours before, because a good friend of mine saw him driving in his matte black Rolls Royce behind the team bus, realising he wasn't going to be in the matchday squad. So Ortega took over again. But I think for the first time in a few seasons, we're happy, aren't we, with our number two. Who would you say is the better keeper of the two? Is Ederson still the number one? Am I just getting all excited here, thinking that he's keeping clean sheets and never lets us down? Where are you on the two keepers?
I think Ortega, for me, feels like the better shot stopper. When you have a penalty shootout or any kind of free kick, it just feels, I feel a little bit safer with him than I do with Ederson. Not that that's intended in any way to be critical of Ederson, because Ederson is a fine shot stopper, but I just feel that Ortega is slightly better on the shot stopping. What you do find, though, is Ortega is not as cool with his feet, and he's not as comfortable making some of the longer passes that Ederson does. You certainly lose some of the range in passing, so It's a really difficult call. I do not feel that we are any the much weaker when Ortega takes over in goal from Ederson. I don't think it actually damages the team at all. It just means there's a few things that are probably different, shall we say, rather than the same.
I think that's fair, isn't it, Edward? I think that feeling of, we're thinking of the Bravo days, I suppose, whenever we heard he was in the team sheet, you worried, I think, a little bit more. We don't seem to worry so much, do we, when Ortega's between the sticks?
No, he's been really top class, I think, ever since he's joined the club. When he's been, first of all, for the FA Cup runs, been in goal, huge numbers of clean sheets. I know that's a different array of opposition, but he's definitely improved as well in the time that he's been at City. And I take Steve's point about his distribution isn't quite as impressive as Ederson, who does some really quite phenomenal assists, I suppose we have to call them, on occasions. But yesterday against Arsenal, I thought his distribution was very good. He found Haaland quite regularly if he went for the long ball. And he feels that he's calm. He's in control. He understands the tactics of the team. The defenders have got confidence in him. So I would be very happy if Pep decided, actually, I'm going to stick with him for the game on Wednesday. I'll be very happy with that if Ederson's still slightly twinging with some sort of injury. And it's definitely the first time that I can remember since Pep's been there that we've had a number two goalkeeper where we look at the team sheet and it's, okay, that's fine, no problem.
You feel the same, Tony?
Yeah, I wasn't overly concerned to see Ederson wasn't there. We do miss his distribution, unquestionably, but Ortega is a very, very good number two and as good as you're going to get, quite frankly. So, yeah, no worries from me.
So, Edward, is that the league gone? Finished, we're done. No treble 2 years on the trot. No four Premier League wins on the trot. That's it. With three, I'm afraid we're done and dusted. It's finished. It's all over.
It's time to pack up our bags. No, of course it's not. Of course it's not. And I'm reminded, I think it was this weekend just gone last season, we started at 8 points behind Arsenal. And we ended up winning it by, I can't remember what it was in the end, but it was fairly comfortable. So there's going to be lots of twists and turns. There's going to be games which on paper looked like a slam dunk for the other teams, and they'll either draw or they'll lose. I do think, though, I think I said this last time I was on, the most that we can afford is either two draws or a loss and a draw at the outset. We've had one of those draws now. We could probably afford one more. I'm not going to say which game I think it's going to be, but certainly they've got a few tough ones coming up. But the other teams, they haven't won it as regularly as we have. We know how to do it. We've got the experience. So as long as we are still on their coattails, I've got every confidence that they're going to slip up and we can come through and do what we always do. But it's not going to be easy because, you know, if you look at the first time in six seasons, we are not the team with the best expected goal difference. That's currently Arsenal. So there's something slightly amiss. We're not sparkling like we have at this stage of the season when we've gone on these amazing runs. But if you look, it's a long time since we've actually lost. We're winning games. We're in the semi-final of the FA Cup, quarterfinals of the Champions League, and we're still in with a shout with the Premier League. So let's not get to the point where we sort of start to just pull up the drawbridge, because it's nowhere near that stage. And I have every faith that we can still do it.
It's gone, Tony. Liverpool favourite. It's gone. Finished.
Well, let me tell you, I would love it. I would love it if we won the league. And yeah, I think we're still in with a chance. Of course we are. And funnily enough, Edward, I was also watching a review of City winning the league in 2012. I don't remember, Aguero scored in the last minute, quite a famous goal. And there we were 8 points behind with six games to go. So a long way to go. Three horse race this time, which does make it more interesting. But we know how to win from here. So I'm still quietly confident. I think Villa will be key, won't it? We need a good result midweek. And if we can win that, it's there for the taking. Well, not there for the taking, but we're still in it. Absolutely.
Not in our hands, Steve. Not in our hands. It's not going to happen. It's gone.
That is my one thing. I mean, I agree with everything the boys have just said, to be perfectly honest with you. But I do feel like it's just out of our hands at the minute. We're in that zone of needing other people to screw up to enable us to do it. And so, yes, it's absolutely still possible. Yes, absolutely, we could do it. Yes, we are the team that has done it in the last few years and have the experience of doing it. But at the moment, the one thing that worries me is the fact that Liverpool seem to be pulling rabbits out of the hat week in, week out. And, you know, they nearly slipped up with Brighton yesterday. But they didn't. They did manage to get something out of it. They could have easily drawn that game yesterday, but they didn't. They managed to win 2-1. And they have got another couple of games at Anfield, and then I think the rest of their fixtures are away.
It's what champions do, Steve. It's what champions do in games like that. Yeah? Get those red and white ribbons ready. Champions of a clock punch in the air three times in front of banging his chest again.
Well, they've won it. They've won it already, haven't they? And that's it.
They have. They have. Brilliant. Well done, Liverpool. We should congratulate the Scousers here and now. Be the first podcast to officially congratulate Liverpool Football Club on another Premier League win, and Klopp goes out. And, of course, they won the League Cup. Oh, no, they didn't. Sorry, no. Sorry, they didn't do that. Sorry. Forget that. Right. Let's think about, Tony, you've said this is a massive game on Wednesday. This is, you know, we said Arsenal was a big game, but you know what? And weren't Villa good when we played them earlier in the season at their place? They played us off the park. I'm really worried about Wednesday night, actually.
Yeah, they did play us off the park. You're absolutely right. And I think that's the one game we got a proper spanking this year. I think you could argue we deserved something out of the two other defeats. So, yeah, it's critical for us. I think Ollie Watkins is out injured for them at the moment, isn't he? So that could be a big loss. And they're pushing for Europe, possibly even a Champions League place. So it's certainly no gimme, but this is exactly the sort of game where we've had 100 times before, haven't we? Was it 2014, second to last game of the season, Villa at home, 0-0 at half-time in the pouring rain? Yeah, we won 4-0 in the end, didn't we? And I came home with a dog that night as well. It was a Jack Russell, Edward, that you referred to earlier. You reminded me of that. It's a long story. But no, hopefully Stones will be at least available. He was on the bench, much to our surprise. Hopefully, I think the penny will drop with the players, that we just can't afford any more mistakes. And we're more than good enough to beat anyone. We haven't fired as regularly as we would like this season. But I'm kind of looking forward to it now, you know, and the pressure seems slightly off. You know, no one's particularly expecting us to win the league. but we're still there. Three big points. Bring it home, boys.
What's needed Wednesday night, Steve, do you think, to turn this round?
Grit, determination, and a bit of creativity. And actually, the people up front clicking. It may be that it would be a good time to perhaps rest Haaland and start with Alvarez, perhaps, as the main striker, and kind of let him run his rule over Aston Villa. I think we've just got to put ourselves to the, you know, put a pedal to the metal, push really hard, score as many goals as we possibly can, because we've got to try and get some goals back. But I think we can do it, honestly. I think we can.
What's needed, Edward? Something needs to happen, because, you know, we haven't been firing on all cylinders. We've said that. You know, we haven't got sort of Haaland and KDB clicking. He's not in you know, we've talked about it on the podcast this week already. What needs to happen different? We need a win. I don't think a draw is not going to be good enough. You've already done the maths for us. So what needs to happen? Is it about personnel changes? Or is it tactical changes? What if Pep was listening now, what's your advice? I know he listens every week, as you know, but what's your advice this week for Pep then, Edward?
If he's still listening, then basically the world-class players have got to be showing world-class form and demonstrating that the likes of KDB, Foden, Rodri, I think we can run to do that anyway. But those key players to, as the others have said, provide us with that creativity, a faster start. I know Pep likes to control games. I think we just need to be more dynamic, not wait until the 70th minute before we start to sort of show a bit of pressure around their box. We're not passes in and around their penalty area, aren't what you call completed passes inside the opposition's penalty area. We're not at the level that we were in previous seasons, and actually Arsenal and Liverpool are out doing us on that if you look at the stats. So we need to be much more clinical in and around the opposition's penalty area and just move the ball faster. But I think that's where the personnel may come in. I would like to see the likes of Oscar Bob given a chance. Alvarez, I think, may be good to play against Aston Villa. But I would probably still play Haaland. You know, he's going to be champing at the bit. He's going to be frustrated. And you know, we know how good he can be if he gets the space. I think there's an opportunity against Villa to do that and learn the lessons from the 1-0 defeat that we had earlier in the season. But it's going to be a tough game. And it reminds me of, I think, when we had to play Leicester on a Monday night to win the league when Kompany had his howitzer. And we got to like the 80th minute. We thought, where the hell is the goal coming from? We don't want to end up in one of those games, although I'd love to see another goal like that, of course. We need to get to grips with the game early on and put it to bed as soon as we can.
Tony, where do you sit on the Haaland situation? Steve chose his words very carefully. I think he said Pep should maybe rest Haaland. I think what he meant was he should drop Haaland, I think is what he meant, and maybe give Alvarez a run out. Do you share that view? That's maybe a good game to do that and try and refresh things, give Alvarez a run?
Well, I'm not sure it's necessarily either or. He's played the two of them together on many occasions, and maybe this is the time. I wouldn't drop Haaland. I don't think he did that much wrong yesterday. He wasn't given the service to shine. Yes, he missed one chance where, as I think Steve referred to, extraordinarily at the ball go under his foot. But apart from that, what was he meant to do, quite frankly? So, no, I don't think this is the time to drop him. I think we need his goals. I think it would send out the wrong message as well. Every striker has a game where they just don't look like scoring. I think that was his. So, no, we go for it. Yes, perhaps Alvarez starts instead of Kovacic. Hopefully we have a more settled back four this time. Please God, no more injuries. And let's, as we say, let's just go for it. And I think as well, Villa, I don't think will be quite as cynical and negative.
Let's look forward to the weekend. Obviously, a lot will depend on what happens midweek, of course, at the Etihad. We're away at Palace at the weekend, 12:30 kickoff. Steve, give us your thoughts ahead of that. As I say, I know already it's important. If we've won midweek against Villa, or we lose, then of course it's a very different kettle of fish. But just looking forward, do you see anything different happening in terms of tactics or personnel?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's still another game we've got to win. I think the only way we can take any or potentially rest any control back over the title challenges and get it back in our own hands is to win every game. Palace are a difficult and wily team, and in the past they have proved to be a banana skin from time to time. So I think we need to go with the same attitude that we've just talked about with the Villa game, really, and probably similar personnel. I mean, Guardiola's got to rotate a bit because the games are coming thick and fast now. You know, three in the space of less than 7 days is quite a lot to get through. But no, I think we've got to go hard at them. But Palace is always a good game. The atmosphere is always fantastic there. You know, they do create a really good atmosphere.
Tony, your thoughts ahead of the Palace game?
Listen, what can we say apart from it's a must win? We've not had the best results there, I think. We've struggled to win, certainly. Did we win 1-0 last year, I seem to recall? Yeah, Haaland penalty springs to mind, but we've had, I certainly recall us losing there, and we've had a couple of draws. But we've just got to go for it. I think Arsenal and Liverpool have got gimmies during the week. I know there's no such thing as a gimme, but I think they've got Sheffield United and Luton at home. So we've just got to cling to their coattails, as it were, as hard and as long as we can. Beat Villa, and it's the old cliche about taking each game as it comes, isn't it? I'd hate to think we start focusing on the Champions League ahead of the Premier League, but we're good enough to win both games. An early goal would be just wonderful, wouldn't it, against Villa? Open up the whole match. Here's hoping.
Pep's not going to do that, is he, Edward, in terms of starting focusing now on the Champions League? No, he's got a game coming up soon after the Palace game. Surely he's got to, as Tony says, he's got to focus on winning both that Villa game and the Palace game, surely.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there may be a little bit in the back of his mind just trying to make sure if he's, for instance, Ake is going to be out, what does he do in terms of just preserving his options in defence? But I think at this stage of the season, you've got to put out your best team, irrespective of the pile-up of fixtures that are coming down the track. When it comes to Palace, well, my wife's family are Palace fans. I think I've managed to convert her to City, so I'm reasonably confident of that, though, you know. It wasn't in the prenup, I don't think. But I know it's always a very difficult fixture. They've got a lot of pace, Palace. You never quite know which team's going to turn up. They can have an absolute humdinger of a game, or can be really, really insipid. So we've just got to impose ourselves on them right from the very start, and I expect us to put out our strongest team. It'd be disappointing if we don't. And if it comes off the back of a win against Villa, it gives us a chance to really build some momentum into the run-in and put the pressure back on the other two that are sitting just above us.
Well, talking of that, once again, congratulations to Liverpool for winning the Premier League. That's a joy and a pleasure for Jurgen Klopp to go out with at least one trophy. We're delighted for him and the whole of Liverpool. Listen, thanks to my three guests, to Edward Timpson, to Tony Newgrosh and to Steve Cox. This is Nigel Rothben saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.